and trying to again. So many familiar faces advancing in Krishna consciousness. Looking at Sri Sri Panchatattva, we can always think about how we cannot calculate the mercy of Lord Krishna. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is one verse that says, for one who remembers Lord Chaitanya, difficult things become easy. And for one who forgets Lord Chaitanya, easy things become difficult. We always need to remember that in this dense darkness of Kali Yuga, we have no real qualifications that have brought us to Krishna consciousness. We may have had some spiritual interest. Certainly we experienced a lot of distress. We might have been curious a bit about extraordinary things. And we might have had some hankering for better living circumstances, less stress. But for the most part, we can see that we've been very fortunate. Just like logs that are afloat in a rushing river, sometimes those logs come ashore. So we've been drowning in the material energy for so long, and some or other we have our chance now. So what are we going to do with that chance? That should always be a reoccurring question. We have a career, we have a profession, which is to develop our attraction for Krishna, revive our attraction for Krishna. That is our time-consuming hobby. That is our pleasure, our life and soul. Everything we do is shaped around reviving our attraction for Krishna. We don't want to lose sight of the goal. And in pursuing that goal, we use our head and our heart. We use our head to understand the science of Krishna, and we use our heart to express great loving devotion in our service to Krishna. All aspects of our being are for engagement in Krishna's service. We're meant to try to understand Krishna. Now, in order to try and understand someone, that means you have some affinity for that person. Otherwise, you wouldn't take the trouble to try and understand that person. When you try to understand someone, you are hoping to get some insights into that person's attractiveness. You're also hoping to understand how that person can benefit you. When we try to understand Krishna, naturally our dormant attraction for Krishna reawakens. Think about it, please. This is the most important calling in life, to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As you all know, you can go so many places and hear about the word God. But as always, after all these years, the situation is still the same. No one else is giving this information exactly what is God and how that relates to us in our present situation. When we talk about Krishna Tattva, we're grappling with two things. Trying to understand Krishna's body and trying to understand Lord Krishna's desires. This can be a little bewildering unless we're completely convinced that it is possible for there to be spiritual bodies and spiritual desires. So much of our progress in Krishna consciousness involves cleansing ourselves from impersonalist contamination, which makes us doubt the activities and pastimes, qualities of the Lord, form of the Lord, makes us doubtful. Sometimes you may catch yourself feeling, oh, this Krishna is just too colorful, just too personal. I don't know, any of you remember that? It's just too vivid, it's just too lively. Something that lively, I mean, must be just mythological probably, it's just too everyday, it's just... This is our impersonalistic tendency. Because we cannot live a fresh, vivid, lively life as we want. Therefore, when we hear about Krishna's vividness, his liveliness, his ever-freshness, we become doubtful. Oh, it's mythology. Now, of course, devotees won't say it's mythology, but in the back of their mind, they may be just thinking, well, it's probably mostly true, but I don't know, completely true. We want to get to the point where we're so comfortable with just understanding Krishna. That's our career. Your parents, family, friends ask you, so what are you going to do with yourself? Tell them, I'm just trying to understand Krishna. That is the highest career. People become so absorbed in trying to understand other persons. We are trying to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And what does Krishna say about that in Bhagavad Gita? Janma karma chamejivyam evam yoveti tattva chakra devam parajanma naiti maameti sarjana. Krishna makes himself quite clear. If you could understand the transcendental nature of his appearance in this world and his activities, then upon giving up the present body, you won't take another material body. Understanding Krishna's janma, his appearance in this world, and his karma, his activities, means understanding how the Lord has a spiritual body and the Lord has spiritual activities. This is what sets Krishna consciousness, bhakti yoga, sanatana dharma apart from so-called religious traditions of this world. Where else are you going to go to get information about the body of the Supreme Lord, the desires of the Supreme Lord? You should think about this. Now, we're all too ready to understand some tiny, limited person's desires. We're all too ready to understand some tiny, limited person's body. So why is it then that we hesitate to understand Krishna's body, Krishna's activities, Krishna's desires? That hesitation is because of the curtain of illusory energy, as Queen Kunti explains, Maya Javanika Shanyam. Namakshase and Buddha. Those who are foolish, they can't see past this curtain. They can't see how Krishna is like an actor on the stage. They don't recognize him. This curtain of Maya manifests as our hesitancy to dedicate our energies to understand Krishna. We should always have that calling. How, before my next death comes, can I understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead? What are his desires? What is his body like? These two things are essential for spiritual understanding. When you have this urge, ambition to understand Krishna, you can tolerate all the natural upheavals of existence in this world. And there'll always be upheavals. Just like when you read in Chaitanya Charitamrita, how for Lord Chaitanya, the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, to go to Vrindavan, you have to go through areas controlled by hostile Muslim soldiers. There's always going to be impediment in this world. But if we have as our goal to understand Krishna, that sacred goal will carry us through so many reversals, impediments, surprises. The more that we understand Krishna, the more we're going to want to serve Krishna. Because our relationship will deepen based on our understanding, and then we'll want to do more for Krishna. Here in Wales, you have a glorious opportunity for doing the best service for Krishna. What is the best service for Krishna? To personally try to administer Krishna consciousness to others. You have a very wonderful opportunity here to do that. You don't have a complicated operation here. Everything's very simple. Ultimately, you should be thinking, it's just us and the people. Now, what are we going to do? The people here in Wales, they're your natural resources. What are you going to do with them? That should be the constant meditation of a servant of the Panchatattva. How can one by one we contact these people so they all flood in the they all drown in the ocean of love of God? This is our constant meditation. These people may have seen us before, but they're going to see us again and again and again. The more they see you, the better. The more purified they become. We want them to see us, to meet us, so that they'll develop the urge to understand Krishna, and then their life can start to become perfect. We want to see that urge assert itself. Factually speaking, we'll never understand Krishna completely, as you know. Just like in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Kaviraj Goswami is always saying, it's impossible to completely describe the length and breadth of the ocean of ecstatic pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. Impossible. Even though, he says, it's impossible to describe the complete length and breadth of that ocean, if you just get one drop, that one drop is enough to drown all the three worlds. So this is the reward for trying to understand Krishna. You can't do it completely. But if you just get one drop of Krishna understanding, that one drop is enough to drown all the three worlds. Well, these are the lucrative stakes for trying to understand Krishna. Naturally, before you try to understand someone, you want to know what you're going to get out of all that effort. You just don't want to try to understand someone and there's no significant result from that. What is our result from trying to understand Krishna? It's more than just freedom from material existence. That result is more than liberation. That result is simply serving Krishna for Krishna's pleasure. That's all. This is the most mystical area of human endeavor. Serving Krishna's senses just for the sake of serving his senses. As soon as we start thinking like that, even though we may be a young devotee, the newest devotee, as soon as we start entering into this mystery of serving Krishna for Krishna's pleasure, the full power of bhakti yoga starts to become more and more manifest for us. And we can see amazing things happen, both with our own spiritual life and with the spiritual life of others. We don't want to be in this part of the world. We don't want to be in Wales and not have a burning desire to meet each individual in this part of the world and give that person a chance to be Krishna conscious. Give that person a chance to understand Krishna. We don't want to stay here without that kind of purpose. So purpose-driven life. Purpose-driven life means I have this highest goal that I'm ready to sacrifice my energies for. I'm ready to experience inconvenience for. We are dedicated to serving others so that they'll have a chance to understand Krishna. First, of course, we have to have that urge to understand Krishna. Why does Krishna do what he does? Why does Krishna have mother, father, friends, girlfriends? Why? We should take an interest in these subjects. Especially because in the ninth canto, in the last verses before the tenth canto begins, Shivadeva Goswami explains to us that knowing the age of Kali is coming, Lord Sri Krishna purposefully came into this world and acted in such a way that anyone who remembers his pastimes becomes free from material contamination. And Shivadeva Goswami goes on to explain, by hearing about those pastimes, the process is so powerful that it will actually stop the strong waves of material desires that come crashing down upon us. Every devotee naturally has some apprehension. What am I going to do when the strong waves of material nature crash upon me? You go to the beach here in Swansea and you look out and you see a tsunami coming. What are you going to do? Can you outrun a tsunami? I was describing in Germany how when the tsunamis are offshore, they're moving at the speed of a jetliner. 747, that's how fast they're moving in the ocean. When they hit the shore, they slow down to 100 miles per hour. Now, how are you going to outrun one of those? Similarly, you're wondering, how can we outrun the waves of material desires? Every intelligent person should think like that. How do I situate myself so that I'm not overwhelmed by these waves of material desires? Often people don't even know what a material desire is. Just like when the tsunami hit the coast of India, there was one scientist vacationing on the beach near Chennai, and he knew what the symptoms of a tsunami were. He saw the water receding suddenly, going way back into the ocean, leaving the bottom bare. Immediately he knew, ooh, tsunami coming. And he started running and then yelling to everybody, tsunami, tsunami. No one paid him any mind. No one paid him any attention. Because, what are you talking about? They're all just curious about, you know, all of a sudden the bottom of the water is bare. They see that all the rocks that formerly were hidden by the water is, hey, this is interesting. This is unusual. And then while they're watching, all of a sudden they see this huge wave coming towards them. Then it's too late to run. So the scientist was warning them. He got away because as soon as he saw the water recede, he started running. But he was being compassionate. He was yelling to them, tsunami, tsunami. But no one can understand what he's talking about. In fact, the people were just captivated, curious about this sudden receding of the water. They were all, you see that? Amazing, huh? So I couldn't get away. There was one man from New Zealand who was doing scuba diving. He was under the water, offshore. And as he was under the water, he looked at his, what do you call it, depth. Do you have any former scuba divers here? what do you call it? Depth gauge. And looking in his depth gauge, and he saw the thing jump 20 meters. What's going on? All of a sudden, I was 20 meters deeper down under. So then he made his way to the surface, and he looked at the beach, and he just saw devastation everywhere. In other words, the tsunami had passed right over him. Everyone else on the surface was wiped out, finished. And so he just came to the surface and, what happened? The whole beach is smashed, buildings smashed. Because he was under the water, he didn't get the brunt of the tsunami. It's a good example to show how we should situate ourselves so that we can stay in this world as long as Krishna wants without becoming contaminated. This is the greatest technology we need to develop. How to live in the material world and remain free from material contamination. You see, living in this world is an occupational hazard. You're always going to, just by living in this world, pick up some contaminants. Even if you're preaching, doing sankirtan, meeting the public, there's always some contamination you're going to pick up. It's an occupational hazard for a devotee to live in this world. So how do you keep your system clean? That we have to be concerned about. The fact is that simply by hearing about Krishna, the waves of material desire are stopped. Shukadeva Goswami understood this about the power of Krishna Katha. Just by hearing about Krishna's pastimes with attentive ears, fortunate ears, just that activity alone will stop the waves of material desires. We simply have to give the process some time. Shukadeva Goswami is referring to a lifelong career of trying to understand what Krishna does, and in this way gradually you realize that material desires are harassing me less and less the more I become interested in understanding Krishna. Well, this is what separates our life apart from others' lives. But everyone in the world is trying to understand something. You can't be a human being without trying to understand someone or something. Now you have to find out, since I'm doomed to try to understand someone or something, who is the best person that I should try to understand? So Krishna presents himself in Bhagavad Gita. Understand me. Everyone likes to be understood. Have you thought about that before? Men, women, everyone likes to be understood by someone. The men, they like to feel pride. I'm a complicated man, but no one can understand me except my woman. Yeah, men like to do it. That's a, successful life, I'm sure I'm complicated. Hard to understand. She understands. And ladies, of course, ladies demand to be understood. There's just no way out of it. If you want a peaceful life. But both men and women, they want to be understood. And when you don't have one person at least who can understand you, you feel very lonely and forlorn. You all know what it's like to be misunderstood. Even in our devotee community, sometimes there are misunderstandings. You sincerely try to do something and no one could appreciate your sincerity. It happens from time to time. These little scenes are there for our purification. I was sincerely trying to serve Krishna. No one understood that. They accused me of so many things. It's a very empty and lonely feeling to be misunderstood. But Krishna in Bhagavad Gita also talks about being misunderstood. The Supreme Personality Godhead gives his own personal experience about being misunderstood. Krishna complains in a certain way. Avajananti mamudha, fools don't understand who I am when I come to this world. They think I'm just an ordinary person. The unintelligent think, first I was impersonal, then I became personal from the impersonal. The unintelligent think like that. This is Krishna pointing out. People have a problem with my identity. I'm sure you've, in your working life or school life, have been in situations in which someone just had a problem with your identity. They just had a problem with about you being around. Well, Krishna goes through the same thing. What is he saying in Bhagavad Gita? Vedam samajitani vartamanani charjuna pavishyami chabutani mam tu veda nakashtuna. As the Supreme Personality of Godhead, I know everything, past, present, and future. I know everyone, but no one knows me. Could you live your life peacefully with the knowledge that no one knows you? It's very painful that no one knows. No one knows you to think like that. Who's going to understand me? Who's going to appreciate me? But Krishna says, Mam Zurveda Nakashtana, no one understands me, although I understand everyone. Of course, Krishna's dear devotees understand it. But in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna's speaking through Arjuna for the general audience. No one understands. They have so many misconceptions. The job of a devotee of Krishna is to establish the truth about Krishna's identity. That is the highest occupation. That's the most noble occupation. And Krishna will reciprocate just by our attempt to help others to understand Krishna. Krishna will reciprocate with us. You have here a unique opportunity here in Swansea, in Wales, to make a very attractive personal situation for others to want to be Krishna conscious. If you just make the people number one, put all your attention on them, the word will spread. And of course, Krishna will be pleased. And more people will come, just looking for that personal interaction with such wonderful devotees. You have to flaunt your wealth a bit more here. What is your wealth here? It's not a big fancy palatial building. Your wealth is not huge financial resources just waiting in the bank for you to spend. Your wealth is the personality of the devotees, the personalism of the devotees. That's your wealth. So the more you invest that wealth, the bigger the return you'll see. The more the people have a chance to meet you. The more that you'll make an impact. But they have to meet you. They need to contact you. A devotee of Krishna is the rarest thing. And when you meet them, you want to inspire them to understand Krishna. And Krishna will appreciate you so much for that. You know what it's like to have a friend who's misunderstood, and then you go to others and say, you don't understand, he really means this, he's really being sincere. You've all done like that, right? Yeah, these are his motives. I know it's not so clear to you, but let me explain to you, this is how he's thinking. And naturally, your friend will be so grateful, oh, thank you for explaining these others. Just think how grateful Krishna is that you're taking the trouble to explain his glories to others. So you have a wonderful opportunity here. You don't have so many grand joys, projects. You don't have so many obligations to do anything except meet people one after another and encourage them to try to understand Krishna. By your personal approach, they'll be attracted. In the coming sessions, we can talk about people's fear of institutional religion, quote unquote. How it's such a paranoia these days, and how to deal with that. So, we'll stop at this point for now. We're going to have a little kirtan before the other part of the evening program begins. Are there any questions about what we discussed?
You mentioned how our wealth is the personality of the devotees.
Mm-hmm.
So I know for myself that sometimes I sort of feel that, you know, I've been busy writing my program, I've been on in service all day, and you know, like sometimes you just feel like you want to just go to your room and read to just get away from I know for myself I want to get away from people because it's less demanding. So yeah, I guess also I think there's other, you know, it's like sometimes we lack confidence to want to be around people we may not know so well or put ourselves forward. So how can we also remedy that sort of thing?
Compassion. Understand how they're suffering. And if you reach out and keep trying, Krishna will give you more and more intelligence. You, and I'm sure in your sankirtan career, have seen so many devotees start out very clumsily on sankirtan, but they just keep trying and trying to reach out, and gradually Krishna gives them intelligence. I know for myself, I went on sankirtan 7 days a week for 2 years straight. By the time I was a 3-week devotee, I did absolutely nothing for 2 years. They used to call me the hard luck kid. I tried so hard, but I would do nothing. I even became like a sankirtan leader, but I did nothing in terms of results. But I just tried and tried and tried. And then one day, it all just changed. God, Brother Bhrigupati, who we still remember, from one moment to the next, it all changed. Just when Krishna wants to give you the ability, he gives it to you. Out of compassion, we reach out. Now, of course, I was reach out for that number. Of course, we have to take care of ourselves. We have to have our spiritual batteries charged. So, of course, we have to read. But you'll find, as you well know, the more you try to give Krishna to others, the more you get for yourself. So there's a time for nourishing ourselves, and there's a time for nourishing others. See, our process is transformation, personal transformation, and distribution at the same time. There's always going to be this struggle to balance the two. Just like in a marriage, you're trying to balance the male and the female nature. You know, they're like opposite poles sometimes. But similarly, in our own personal bhakti endeavors, we're trying to balance our own transformation with the necessary distribution dollars. So it's always going to be a bit of a challenge. That's the challenge of love. Because we're trying to develop love for Krishna, we're willing to take up this constant effort, because we care, this constant effort. Oh, now is the time for my own transformation. Oh, now is the time for distributing to others. And we're always adjusting like the sail on a boat. We're always a little bit too much this side, a little too much that side. But that's all part of the relationship. We want to have that thirst. I have to tell someone about Krishna. You have to start somewhere. And naturally we need time for our own spiritual nourishment, without a doubt. But both things have to be there. You look at these people in Wales and you should be thinking, this is your meditation, how to reach these people. How to get more and more of them to take up trying to understand Krishna. How to get them to read their books, read the books you distributed to them. How to find out the ones who are reading. How to get the ones who are not reading to read. This is an intense meditation. The more you become focused like this, the more Krishna will send you people. That is a fact. So here you have a great chance to do that because you don't have a complicated operation here, which soaks up everyone's attention internally rather than going out. Here you can just look outward. Where are the people? And you get your enthusiasm in that way. You have a bunch of tattva here. They're always going out. Of course, Lord Caitanya later in his life, he would have his nocturnal private sessions with Ramananda Roy, Sri Damodar. But for the general public, during the day, they would go out. Nam Sankirtan. As Lord Caitanya would tour South India, he would meet one person. That person would become surcharged with Krishna brain. And that person would meet someone else. And a whole chain reaction would start. This is the work of a Panchatattva. So you have a chance here to thrive on this activity. You have to ask a good question, because I remember when I started doing book distribution 33 years ago or so, I was so convinced I was shy, that I was not the kind of person to always try to meet others. But for the sake of Krishna's pleasure, we try. And Krishna gives us so many abilities. I think the big mistake, the way you shortchange yourself in terms of getting your share of nectar, is when you say, I've got this kind of personality, I therefore I can't reach out to others. I beg you, don't make that mistake. Just reach out to others and let Krishna make of your personality what he likes. Anything else? Yes.
Sure, could you perhaps give some advice how devotees can work together better as a team, supporting each other? Locally and daily. What? Across different centers.
So devotees don't reinvent the wheel. You need something.
I don't know what you mean, but reaching out to others is very contagious in Krishna consciousness. We've seen this, all the old devotees know. It's a very contagious thing once devotees start reaching out and caring for the people. That's a full-time meditation, not just as something you do once a week, but as your main reason for existing in terms of others, besides your own personal bhajan. Just, we're here for you. It's contagious. The Panchatattva make it so. You become very bubbly and very joyful. And you actually see how there's no problem except the lack of Krishna consciousness. You want to see that. You just don't want to know it as a theory. So when devotees do like that, that spirit becomes contagious. And everyone wants to catch that disease, all the devotees. Want to catch that bug, living for the sake of others, in terms of the public side of our Krishna consciousness. Of course, you also have to have a private side of our internal bhajan and nourishment. Anyway, we can talk more about all these points as the weekend progresses. Okay. Please continue to think, as I'm sure you have been, about the glorious opportunity you have here. Because you don't have so many other pressing projects here, except where are the people? That's a very luxurious situation. So we'll have some kirtan before we get kicked out. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.